Okay. She enters from the back of the room. She is late, and she knows it, though she's willing to take the risk to hear if the stories are true. The one known as Jesus is speaking today, emphasizing a point as the captivated crowd listens to his teaching. She can tell he's been going for some time, and he's trying now to explain some nuance of the Torah in a way that they've never heard before. The teacher speaks in such a personal way. She thinks to herself, it's as if this man has physically sat and spoken with Jehovah face to face. He is wise and speaks with such authority. It's no wonder people are talking about him and following him from place to place. She glances to the side, down near the front where the men are sitting, and notices the synagogue leader whispering with some of the Pharisees that arrived in town the day before. She thinks to herself, there is one quick to criticize when someone whispers in synagogue, especially when the rabbi is teaching, and here he is doing it himself. She struggles to find a seat amongst the other women, but as is often the case, the others don't make it easy for her, and the synagogue is especially crowded today. Many have come from the countryside to hear Jesus and what he has to say, and maybe even witness a miracle. Everyone has been talking of it, the marvelous signs and miracles he's been said to perform. People healed in an instant with only a spoken word or a touch. The woman wonders if he has done any miracles here today, and she feels a pang of disappointment. She might have missed so much. What if he has already done something extraordinary and I missed it? But no one would help her or even notice her as she struggled to walk the distance from her small shack outside of town. Her condition has steadily worsened over the years. It's been so long now, she can barely remember what life was like before. The disease has taken its toll, mentally and physically. And she especially despises the stares and the barely concealed contempt when she enters the marketplace. In fact, she rarely goes out anymore. But for some reason, today was different. She felt drawn to make the effort. Her long absence from synagogue might possibly account for some of the surprised expressions she catches out of the corner of her eye. She moves slowly, trying not to disrupt anyone, and finally sees a place in the far back corner. Then suddenly she hears the teacher's voice, and her blood runs cold. He's calling out to someone and pointing. And with difficulty, she turns and sees him pointing at her. Her initial reaction is to run or hide if she could. She is afraid and confused as to why he has singled her out. What could he possibly want with me? Maybe he's going to make an example of me for being late and disrupting the teaching. Men and women turn as one to stare at her, and he motions her to come to him. She moves, but she is terrified. She feels their eyes burning into her and knows in her heart the synagogue leader will not like this. Women are never recognized in the synagogue. Slowly, she makes her way to the teacher, and as she moves, a silence falls over the large gathering. Even the occasional cough or rustling of clothing ceases. She arrives before him, bent and broken, from the years of disease, the loss of her friends and family, and the loneliness settling over her like a heavy weight, forcing her down, down. It wasn't always like this. She does remember when life was new and exciting, stretching out before her like a road disappearing into the distance with no end in sight. But things changed. Sickness and war swept over their village, and those that she loved most were lost. She did her best to survive, but then she became ill. The joints and ligaments along her spine became stiff and sore, especially for someone as young as her. And she discovered it was more and more difficult to do the work expected of her. What began as pain in her lower back spread upward to her chest and neck. And over time, she could no longer stand up straight. The doctors tried everything that her limited resources could afford, but the disease progressed. Eventually, the vertebrae in her back and neck fused, and any hope of a cure was lost. Today, this woman would have been diagnosed with a form of spondyloarthritis, a debilitating arthritic condition that remains incurable. Well, the days stretched into years, years of pain and loneliness and lost opportunities. And it all came flooding back to her as she stood before the teacher, wondering what would happen next. She was so used to being ignored, considered a burden to society, convinced by the religious leaders that her affliction was punishment for a sin that either she or one of her family members had committed, maybe even before she was born. She tries to position herself to see his face, but can't see past the hem of his cloak, his worn sandals, and his dirty feet. The silence is deafening, but in that moment, she senses his presence. Not his physical presence, because she knows he is there, but a presence unlike any she has felt before. It's as if he is looking inside of her, studying her, and even now examining her heart, laying bare her secrets, the pain and suffering that is settled there like a darkness that never ends. She waits and hears him speak again. Later, when telling the story, she forgets the words he spoke, only that they were spoken to her and only her. And as he speaks, she feels his gentle touch on her head and on her back. And his touch reaches through her flesh all the way to her heart. And in an instant, something lets go, something tight within her is released, almost like the release of a bowstring. All the tension and disappointment, bitterness, suddenly disappear. And she feels what can only be described as a warm embrace in and around her, as if it were only the two of them, alone in a quiet place. The apprehension and fear that she felt has melted away, replaced with a sense of peace and calm. As she revels in this new sensation, she recognizes something else is different. Her burden, the weight she has felt that has pushed her down for so long, it's gone. Slowly, afraid that this is only a dream, she straightens herself and stands erect, pain-free, for the first time in 18 years. The synagogue remains silent. She can now see him clearly, of course, and it's a face she will never forget. It's his eyes that capture her gaze. They are deep and intense, shining as if filled with light from within. And she senses his compassion and love for her, as if she were the only person in existence at that moment. To her surprise, she hears herself laugh, and her voice bursts forth in song and praise. "Glory and hallelujah," she shouts. "I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up and did not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried to you for help, and you have healed me. O Lord, you brought my soul from Sheol, restored me to life from among those gone down to the pit. Sing praises to the Lord, O you, his faithful ones, and give thanks to his holy name." Ancient words she has long forgotten suddenly spring to life on her tongue. She cannot and will not remain silent. The synagogue resounds with her praise, and then other voices join in with hers, and then people marvel at what they have just witnessed. But wait, not all are rejoicing. The woman doesn't even notice, nor does she care. But there's grumbling coming from a corner of the synagogue. The leader and the strangers from Jerusalem, they're not rejoicing. They're not even smiling. Is it possible they have frowns on their faces? Under his breath, the synagogue leader mumbles something, too quiet for even those near him to hear. Yet the teacher's head turns suddenly, eyes piercing. His eyes are now a raging fire, and his voice rings out like thunder. "You hypocrites!" The hall falls silent. The joy, the shouts stop as if someone has just flipped a switch. "You hypocrites! Does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox and his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" The synagogue leader shrinks from the fury of his words, and he turns and leaves quickly, the visiting Pharisees following closely behind him. As the door closes behind them, the synagogue erupts once more with joyful praise. And above all of it, the woman, strong and whole once more, is heard above all the others. "You have turned my mourning into dancing. You have taken off my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, so that my soul may praise you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever." God knows you. God knows me. In fact, God knew us before we were even born. Like the woman in this story, Jesus sees all, the good, the bad, the ugly. Your heart is an open book before him. Despite how unworthy we may think we are, Jesus is reaching out to you, to me. "Come. Come into my presence. Be healed." All we must do is let go. Experience this freedom that can only come through Christ. So let us go now into Christ's loving presence and experience his love for ourselves. Amen. like to invite you to open your hymnals to number 423. You can remain seated for this if you'd like. Great is his faithfulness.